I came across last week. A sefer Rishon I never saw before. One of the more obscure Rishonim of Chizkiah Kreskes. Chizkiah Kreskes is known primarily for his philosophical writings. He's famous for his sefer Or Hashem. Although he is definitely very much a part of the Masora of Gemara and Halacha. He's a Rebbe, primary Rebbe of Rabbi Zrachi Halevi, the Baal Hamar, which means that he's sort of in line to be the generation before, a generation or two before the Ramban. And I came across a slim volume, a manuscript that was discovered by a professor Ravitsky and published in the last couple of decades, Drushas Chag HaPesach. It's Rav Chizkiah Kreskes is, I'm not sure if it's actually a drusha that he gave, a talk that he gave on Pesach, or just written in that style, but it's a blend of halacha and philosophy. And he actually writes, he opens something very fascinating. There's a famous line that Gemara has, and it's the first halacha in Hilchos Pesach, Sholem v'dorshin v'hilchos Pesach, sholshim yom kol mechar, kol meregel. So Chizkiah Kreskes wants to know. That's a famous din, first din Shulchan Aruch. To begin to learn Hilchos Pesach 30 days before. We're already in that zone. But Chizkiah Kreskes wants to know, what's with the two verbs? Sholem v'dorshin. To ask questions. Sholem, Shiloh. And Dorshin. To be Doresh. So I think usually you assume Sholem means you have the right to ask questions. Ask Shilas, and Darshan means not only that the Rebbeim will field questions reactively, but the Rebbeim also will proactively teach and give shiurim about Inyan Pesach. But Chizkiah Kreskes suggests that Sholin is a reference to studying the Halacha, Shilas, and Darshan means to seek out the philosophy behind the Halacha, to understand to look at the mitzvah and to look at the meaning behind the mitzvah. And he says, I'm going to practice what I preach, and in this drasha, I'm going to look both at some of the halachas of Pesach, and also some of the philosophical issues. The issue he looks at, issues of emunah, that relate to Pesach, and the connection between Nes, seeing Nisim, observing Nisim, and how that builds emunah. Does that, in what way does that build emunah? So we're going to engage in that also. We're going to be Shol V'Dorish, hopefully in the sense of Chizkiah Kreskes. And we will focus on the Dorish, as we've been doing for the last couple weeks, to look at the meaning behind the mitzvah. And this, between this week, next week is going to be a Project Ezra dinner, between this week and 2 weeks from now, we'll have two opportunities to look at different halachic issues within Pesach, and to look at them primarily to see what are the messages and what are the ideas about the Yom Tov that these dinim convey. And what I want to do tonight is to look at the connection between Purim and Pesach. Rav Chaim Friedlander, in volume 2 of his series on Moedim, in between the section on Purim and the section on Pesach, he has a section on Purim and Pesach together. And he points out, he develops this question and highlights the question that if you look at the calendar, so they're ironic neighbors. Now, Purim and Pesach are a month away from each other, and they seem so incredibly dissimilar. Right? You think about it. Number one, just historically, Pesach is 1,000 years before Purim, roughly. Pesach is the beginning of the story of Am Yisrael, and the story of Purim is all the way at the very, very end of the period of Nevuah. We had a chance to talk this past Shabbos afternoon, but how some of the halachas of the Megillah reflect the fact that Purim is at the time of the transition from the period of Nevuah to the period, the post-Nevuah period.
The most Nisim Guluyim all the way to the most Nes Nistar, so to speak.
Right. And then content-wise, it's such a shift. And in terms of how we celebrate them, it's so ironic that over the course of a month, you move from the least halal focused to the most halal focused. Right, Purim, we don't say halal at all. We'll see a little bit. The Gemara works hard to understand why there's no halal on Purim. But Purim, there's no halal. The Gemara has three different explanations why that might be. And exactly a month later, you have, in principle, three halals over a period of less than 24 hours. Because Pesach after Erev Pesach afternoon, the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, as the Mishnayos tell us, the Levim would be singing halal in the Beis HaMikdash while the Shechitas HaPesach is going on in the Beis HaMikdash. And Leil, the night of the Seder, so we recite halal. The Gemara says that we recite halal after eating Karm Pesach. We unfortunately have not had a chance to eat Karm Pesach for almost 2,000 years. We continue to say halal Leil Seder. And then again, you come to Shul Pesach morning and you say halal Shalom. So you go for the... Such a dramatic difference, again, at so many levels. Historically, in terms of halal, in terms of what the story was like, and it can't be coincidental that they are neighbors despite it all. It's rare that you have two Yom Tovim juxtaposed so closely. The only other time you have that is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos. Right? The distance from a Sukkos to a Purim, from a Pesach to Shavuos, from a Shavuos to Rosh Hashanah, is much larger. And we think about Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos, there are differences, but certainly we think of them as a unit, and we see similarities. So the question is, Purim and Pesach. Now, you could say, okay, the way, practically speaking, they're next to each other, but in principle, you know, Pesach is the first month, that's Nisan, and at the very end of the calf, you organize the month from Nisan to Adar, and Pesach and Purim are opposite ends, sort of like they are historically. But Lamasa, Chazal were keenly aware of the fact that Purim is next to Pesach. And it's not just happenstance. As less you think, well, it happened to work out that you start the cycle again, but in principle, officially, they're 11 months apart. Pesach is in month 1, and Purim is in month 11. Take a look at the first Gemara on the sheet. Right, it certainly is a cycle. There certainly is a cycle. But to prove that it's not coincidental, the Gemara actually is very sensitive to this. Take a look at the following. The Gemara actually has a fascinating Gemara, the end of Daf Vav and Beis, in the first paragraph of Maseches Megillah. Here's source number one. The Gemara has a fascinating Machlokas. This Machlokas was not relevant this year, because this year was not a Shana Muberes. This year only had one Adar. But in a leap year, you only have two Adars. So we take it as a given that Purim is in which? Other base. We saw that's an axiom. But the truth is, that's one of multiple opinions. Not all Tanaim agree to that. Take a look here. Tanya, as a matter of fact, this Brisa harks back in the period of the Tanaim, they were still living with a dynamic calendar that was being decided in real time. So remember, the added month is the second Adar. And sometimes you won't know. In advance of Purim, in advance of the 14th of Adar, there could be two Adars. So you can have a situation where, you know, Tevis, Shvat, you come to Adar, you make your way to the 14th of Adar, or 15th of Adar, depending on where you live, you celebrate Purim. Karu'us ha-Megillah ba-Adar ha-Rishon v'Nisabra ha-Shana. So we thought this was Adar, period. And then, a week later, we get the Sanhedrin decides, they look at the astronomical issues, the climactic issues, the agricultural issues, whatever it is, the Gemara discusses what the factors are that play into making that determination, but they come to a decision after Purim that next month is Adar Sheni and not Nisan. So where does that leave you? So Machlokas HaTanan. Blazer Rabbi Yossi, son of Rabbi Eliezer, says you already yotze ein kronos ba'Adar Sheni shkal mitzvah nogas b'shein nogas b'rishin. You could fulfill the mitzvahs either in Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, they're both Adar, and therefore the 14th or 15th of both qualifies as Purim. But while Rabbi Yossi's son says that, Rabbi Yossi's student quotes him, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel quotes from Rabbi Yossi, Af Kronos B'Adar Sheni. No, you got to repeat it. Because Kometz is Shnogos B'Sheni, Ein Nogos B'Rishon. Purim is only in Adar Sheni, which is what we assume. We assume like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, quoting Rabbi Yossi. Gemara goes on to say, The first opinion was Rabbi Yossi holds, no problem whatsoever, even if you know in advance it's going to be a Shana Luberes, feel free to go ahead and celebrate Pesach and Adar Rishon. And the Gemara says, not surprisingly, in the third paragraph, we paskin, Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, quotes near Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchasa Rabbi Shem Gamliel, Shalman Bashem Yossi. We paskin that Adar Sheni is the only option. The Gemara wants to know why. And here the Gemara says, what would you have assumed a priori, without knowing what the shitos are? I just asked you, okay, there are going to be two adars. When should we celebrate Purim? Which one would you have picked? It's a little hard because we're biased, because we know the answer. Based on sort of first principles, what would you have said?
I would say the first.
Why?
Maybe it's a bad application of mitzvah habal liyadcha atach mitzvah. I mean, it's the first.
Marvelous! It's such a good application, Michael, that's actually what the Gemara says. Take on. The Gemara says, Reb Lezbi Yossi, you understand well. Ain't my vina la mitzvahs. You have a chance to you don't pass up an opportunity to do a mitzvah. That's even why we, you know, that sometimes we arrange ourselves, we physically arrange items so that we won't violate, so that we'll hit the first mitzvah first. As the way you set up your tefillin bag, it's the reason, the reason, there are Kabbalistic reasons for why we arrange the ka'ara at the seder the way we do. But the halachic reason, which the Rama mentions, is you organize this so that the mitzvahs that come first are closest to you, at the bottom of the ka'ara. Because we don't want to violate any of our mitzvahs. The karpas should be in the bottom and the mar could be at the top. So the Gemara says, so the first adar comes first. Forget about where your hand is. You come to adar, adar rishon. So isn't it, if you have two options, they're both adar, so why would you wait? So Amar, so the Gemara says, what's the explanation for the decision we follow? So Rabbi Tavi, a rare, obscure name, Rabbi Tavi says, Tam Shem Gamliel, Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif. The reason why we only allow Purim in the second month is because it's better to have the two Geulos next to each other. Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif. So what you see from this Gemara is that it's not at all coincidental that Purim in the 12th month is next to Nisan in the first month. As a matter of fact, it's part of the design of Purim. It sounds like that's... Remember, and this concept is so significant. The value of Mismach Geula, putting the Geula Purim next to Geula Pesach, so significant. Not only does it override the preference that Ein Marvi Ela Mitzvos would imply, but it actually creates a need. You're not even Yosei if you keep. It's not just we prefer that you have the right to keep the second Adar, or even that we prefer the second Adar. You're not even Yosei in the first Adar.
It crosses the year.
Right. So this Mismach Geula LeGeula is probably an incredibly powerful concept. That the need to have Purim next to Pesach, but that just magnifies the kasha. So, but they're so unlike each other. They're so dissimilar. Right? We said they're historically so far apart. Right. And in terms of how we celebrate, in terms of halal, they're opposite poles of the most halal dense, and then and the most hallowed poor. It's so striking. So what's the significance of the Mismach Geula? What are we accomplishing by putting these strange neighbors, these unlike neighbors, together? So it could be that a look at a similar sounding din might be helpful. Because there's another situation that comes up much more frequently. This halacha of Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif, it speaks to every single Purim, but strictly speaking, it's only halachically relevant in Shana Muberes. This really comes up once every 2-3 years. There is another din of smicha, having two things be samach, be next to one another, which comes up twice a day. Exactly. The Gemara mandates, when Bracha talks about it more than once, we require smichas Geula Trila. That we require that Kriya Shema and the bracha that follows Kriya Shema that talks about Geula, talks about redemption from Mitzrayim. The paragraph of Kriya Shema is Vayomer that talks about the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Then the following bracha, Emes V'yatzav, Emes V'emuna, next bracha amplifies that topic. It talks about the Makas Bechoros talks about Kriya Samsov and elaborates more on the story and the dynamic of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara says that needs to be next to Tefillah. That needs to be next to Tefillah in the language of Chazal is specifically Shmona Esrei. Now the stipler develops a beautiful piece, the second article in Maseches Brachos. He points out that he thinks there are several discussions, halach discussions we've shown him, that revolve around this following simple question. Smichas Gula Tefillah is supposed to accomplish what? The idea is you want Kriyashma to come for, Kriyashma and Tefillah should be right next to each other because what? Because I want Kriyashma to preface the Tefillah, or I want Tefillah to enhance the Kriyashma? In other words, is it that before I can daven, before I can talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I need to develop first to whom am I speaking? So I need to have a Kriyashma as a preface, as an introduction to Tefillah. I can't jump into talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. First say Shema. First remember. Hashem HaKadosh Hashem HaChad. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He did it to us with Shem. That demonstrates us. And then, once we remind ourselves to whom we're speaking, so then, after you have a Kriyashma, now I'm ready for Tefillah. Does the Kriyashma enhance the Tefillah? Or the reverse, is the Tefillah enhancing the Kriyashma? What would it mean the Tefillah is enhancing the Kriyashma? What would it mean that Tefillah enhances the Kriyashma? So take a peek. Source number two is Rabbeinu Yonah. Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah in the Parish writing commentary on the Rif on Brachas. In the second paragraph, how is it that a Shmona Esrei amplifies what I just said in Kriya Shema? It says, and this is something important, so someone's thinking what we do when we daven. If I speak about the Gula from Mitzrayim and then I immediately follow it up with a davening, with a Shmona Esrei, that's something worth thinking about. The Tefillah is an expression, a demonstration of my reliance on Kadosh Baruch Hu, that my Emuna is substantive and real, that I'm acting in my Emuna, to use the terminology of the Chazon Ish and define Bitachon. Why? You're going ahead and you're asking God for things. Well, Misha Ein Boteach, Bo Lo Yivakesh Meino Klum. If I don't feel a reliance on Kadosh Baruch Hu, why would I ask? You reach out, Lahavdil, you reach out to someone in a tight situation, I reach out to someone to give me a hand, to give me advice, I reach out to someone who I think can help me. The fact that I ask you for advice, if I can ask you for assistance, means that I think you're someone who can be helpful. So the fact that we stand before our Kadosh Baruch Hu and ask him for everything, from soup to nuts. We ask him for intelligence, we ask him for spiritual growth, for physical well-being, for financial stability, we ask him for Mashiach, we ask him for national issues, we ask him for everything. So that's a demonstration to ourselves that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the controller of everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is qualified, is the best dressed to talk about any sort of need that we might have. So he says, And then he says, the Kavan. So in other words, the Tefillah, a Kriyashma is an expression of our Emuna. And it's not just I believe in the abstract, but I feel it in my Kishkas. So this Emuna is real. So real that I really believe this. I really subscribe to the notion that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachol, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Almighty. So I'll put that into practice. The first way I can put that Emuna into practice is by turning Kadosh Baruch Hu and saying, you're in charge, so help me out. It enhances the expression of Emunah.
Must they be mutually exclusive?
Not necessarily. Now, the classic, they are seen as, in other words, in Lubavitcher terminology, we would say, Smichas Gula Tefila, a din in the Kriyashma, or a din in the Tefila? Is it an enhancement of the mitzvah of Kriyashma, or is it an enhancement of the mitzvah of Tefila? And the stipler points out that he has several different Mechalkas Rambam arrive in the third parak of Hilchos Tefillah, and Rashi and Tosef Haigon talk about, let's say, for instance, if I daven Marav before the time of Kriyashma. So common practice is that we
repeat.
We say Kriyashma, even though it's too early for the mitzvah, and then we daven Shema Esrei. And then later on, repeat Kriyashma. Rav Haigon suggests, no, maybe you're davening after Shkia, it's already time for Marav, for Tefillah, but it's not yet time for Kriya Shema until it gets dark, until it says Kochavim. So Rav Haigon says, just daven Shemoneh Esrei, and later on you'll say Kriya Shema with the brachas. So one of the issues and it's really an issue that's already debated as well in the first Amud of Shas, the first Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, revolves around four. What do you do with the early Ma'ariv? And there are four separate conceptual issues that Rashi and Tosfos are debating, and one of them appears to be this. The purpose of us reciting Kriya Shema and the brachas at early Ma'ariv, before the time of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, is to enhance the Shemoneh Esrei. So if you hold the smichas gula tefillah as an enhancement of Shemoneh Esrei, so go ahead and say Kriya Shema now, because after you be mekayim Shemoneh Esrei now. But if you think it's a din the Kriya Shema, the Shemoneh Esrei is helping the Kriya Shema, it's too early for Kriya Shema. That's where Rav Haigon argues that you should, it's time for Shemoneh Esrei, so say Shemoneh Esrei. But you're not saying Kriya Shema now. There's no mitzvah Kriya Shema now, so why would you say the Kriya Shema? So again, that's one practical application of this concept. But what I want to turn your attention to, and the classical way of the stipler and others look at this issue is it's a binary issue. Either the Kriya Shema is enhancing the tefillah, or the tefillah is enhancing the Kriya Shema. But what's fascinating is if you take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah in the first paragraph, we just read the second paragraph. The second paragraph, he gives one of the classical approaches, that the tefillah enhances the Kriya Shema, it's a din in the Kriya Shema. But the first paragraph of Rabbeinu Yonah, I believe what he's arguing is that it's sort of a third way. There might be a third option. It's not that A enhances B or B enhances A, but instead that A and B together form a new whole, which is greater than the sum of the parts. Take a look. Here is the beginning of source number two. V'pnei shehakadosh baruch hu kishegaalanu v'hotzeinu mitzrayim. When the Rosh Hashanah took us out of Mitzrayim, Hayal Yosenu lo la'avadim. Avadayim. We became Avdi Hashem. Avadayim, as the pasuk says. HaKadosh Baruch says, Moshe Rabbeinu, look, Klal Yisrael are Avdi Hashem, because I took him out of Mitzrayim. V'virkas Gal Yisrael mazkir bo ha-chesed sha'asi imonu ha-bori. So in Gal Yisrael, we talk about the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And in Tefillah, where Tefillah is referred to in the Chumash, the Tanam understanding the Midrash and Halacha, as the term for tefillah as a mitzvah is avoda. Avatam is a Baal Kama, Gemara Tanis, and Midrash and Halacha, Avatam Hashem Elokeichem, zuhi tefillah. Ezoi avoda shebelev, havyom zuhi tefillah. What does it mean to worship God with your heart, with your mind, with your lave? Do you worship with your lave? The Gemara says, avodas halev is a reference to tefillah. So he says, the Birvena says, that's incredible. When you have Shema and the mention of Geula, and then you engage in Tefillah, you know what you just did? Kishu mazkir etzias Mitzrayim umispalel miyad. When you combine those two elements, mar'eh shekemosha eben shekoneh so rabo chayv lasos mitzvahs rabo kenu makir hatova v'agula shegol so habore v'shu avdo v'obeno so. We are recreating etzias Mitzrayim, the full picture of etzias Mitzrayim. Etzias Mitzrayim and what followed it. Because Yitzias Mitzrayim, what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, when he says, you know, the Geula led to our being his Avadim, that's some, an idea that's, I think, more famous in the name of the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah's Mechutim, and Rabbeinu Yonah's Pir. And they were both Rabbeim of the Rashba and the Ra'ah. They were twin Gedolei Svarad of that period. Rabbeinu Rabban writes in source number three, a very famous passage, in Parshas, in his Perush on Torah, in Parshas Emor, he talks about the fact that he sees Sfiras HaOmer as a Chol HaMoed that connects Pesach and Shavuos. It's just like at the other end of the year, in Tishrei, you have one day of Sukkos, Yom Tov Sukkos, 6 days of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, and then Shmini Atzeres. So too, here you have a sort of a macrocosm. You have a week of Pesach, and then close to 6 weeks, approximately 6 weeks of Chol HaMoed of Sfiras HaOmer that follow, and then Shavuos. As though the Sfiras HaOmer is the Chol HaMoed that connects Pesach and Sukkot. But part of what he's, Pesach and Shavuos, excuse me, part of what that means is that Pesach and Shavuos are together sort of like a macro Yom Tov. Even though each one is a separate Yom Tov, and sort of a separate Regal, separate Chiyuv of Aliyah Regal, separate Karbanos, But at the same time, part of what Sfiras HaOmer tells us is that Pesach and Shavuos together are part of a larger whole.
But if Purim is connected to
Oh, great. Let's come back to promos. Let's take one more moment to appreciate what Rabbeinu is saying, and then Jake reminds us it's time to bring it home to Purim. Correct. Good. So let's put it all together. So what Ramban is saying, again, just for taking Ramban on his own, Pesach and Shavuos, in other words, the geula from the political freedom that we attained at between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yom Sof, right? Because Kriyas Yom Sof is the seventh day of Pesach, is what made Yetzias Mitzrayim into a permanent reality. Because now they knew that they weren't just out for a couple of days, but now the threat of being returned to Shibud was gone. So the political freedom that Pesach accomplished was the first half of the story. It was enabled the spiritual uplift and the becoming as stepping out of being Avdei Paro is what allows to step into being Avdei Hashem. And what Rabbeinu Yonah says again in his first approach is Smichas Gula Pila is a recreation of that. Every time we daven Shachar or Marv, Rabbeinu Yonah, we're recreating that. Gula and Avoda. Tzvila is Avoda Shabbat, Avoda Hashem. We remember the Chazdei Hashem in taking us out of Avoda to Paro, and then we read the Pesach, and then we recreate that what followed from that was now we have the ability and the debt of gratitude that mandates that we shift to being Avdei Hashem. So that's what I was saying before. If this first approach of Rabbeinu Yonah is neither A nor B, it's not Kriyas Shema is enhancing Tefillah, Tefillah is enhancing Kriyas Shema, but instead that you put Tefillah and Kriyas Shema and Tefillah together to create a new larger unit that neither one alone would have done. Because when you put them together in that way, now you have a recreation of the original Yetzias Mitzrayim Matan Torah. The Avdei Hashem because we're not Avdei Paro. And now we come back to Purim. So we had said before, remember we had left off before by saying that the calendar is strange. The calendar, once you begin to think about it, and the Purim Pesach connection seems awkward. And we said, and it's not happenstance. The Gemara and Megill Davav said that Chazal see this not just as an ideal, but as an absolute necessity. You cannot celebrate Purim in Adarishan because you're going to be missing out on Smichas Geula LeGeula. That's absolutely critical. So in a regular year, which means every year it's critical. Just normally you only have one Adar, so it's built into the calendar. But clearly it means this is an essential part of the build of the calendar that Purim and Pesach be next to each other. So what does it mean? And Ken Rabbeinu Yonah's model of seeing a smicha's geula, a din of smicha, as not being one enhances the other, but that they form a greater whole. So how could we think about that here? So maybe a look, maybe digging deeper into the question will help us in the next few minutes to come to an answer. I mentioned before, and not only are they different in the sense that historically they're so far apart, and they're different, you pointed out, the one is Pesach is sort of the apex of Nisim Gluyim, and certainly, as Jake pointed out, Pesach Shavuos together, between Makos and Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsov and Mamad Har Sinai, sort of the apex of Nisim Gluyim versus Purim, where Kadosh Baruch Hu is totally Benister. The third difference we mentioned was in terms of Hallel. To take a look at source number four, the Gemara says, Chanukah we say Hallel. So how about Purim? Purim Dika Nisa Lema? Why not? So the Gemara gives three answers. The answers number one and three seem to be that it's something about the story. It was a Yeshua Benada Geula. It seems like what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara says it wasn't Zionistic enough. Either because the Nesa Purim happened at Tzaveret. As far as Rabbi Yitzchak says, the first answer of the Gemara. Third answer of Gemara, Rava says that line, Halu Avdei Hashem V'lo Avdei Paro, it has to be, as we say in Hallel, that we're no longer Avdei Paro by the time the Yeshua is done. But here, Akati Avdei Achashverosh. We were still Avadim Achashverosh. Not Avadim, literally. We were enslaved. I mean, we had not achieved sovereignty. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us from danger, but we were not a free sovereign people. So the first and the third answers, Rabbi Yitzchak and Rava, are sound like they're saying it's Yeshua, but wasn't it really a complete geula? Geula shnei would be in Eretz Yisrael. Geula shnei would result in sovereignty, Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. Without that, we're not going to say hal. But Rav Nachman says you really do say hal. You do say hal, except that kriyas zui halela. There is a hal, but the hal of Purim takes on a unique form. Instead of saying hal the regular way, we actually the mikra megillah is the best hal. Rambam paskins clearly in Hilchas Chanukah and the halachas of hal, paragimel lachavav. Rambam paskins clearly not only that we don't say hal in Purim, but the reason we don't say hal in Purim is like Rav Nachman, because the mikra megillah takes that place so much more than Meiri in source 5, who tends to follow, be a great adherent to the Rambam. He actually understands this to be a halachic statement. Meiri writes, fascinating. Jesse Horn of Yeshiva Dakota points out to me a year or two ago. Meiri writes that, he says, if a Jew is stuck without a Megillah in Purim, Yom Megillah, is in a place where he can't get his hands on the Megillah. So despite his best attempts, so Onus Rachmona Patre, you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah. But Meiri says, but you also have mitzvah halal. So you can't fulfill Megillah, but at least you should open up a siddur and say halal. Because it sounds like Meiri really understood. You're fulfilling two different kiyumim in the mikra Megillah. There's the Megillah, there's halal. And he writes, according to the other opinions in the Gemara, you're not chayiv in halal. But according to Rav Nachman, you really are chayiv in halal. Just that there's a unique way of fulfilling, the ideal way to fulfill halal in Purim is with Mikra Megillah. But it just begs the point, if it's really a mitzvah of halal, so why don't we just go about halal the way we go about halal any other Yom Tov? The way we go about halal in Chanukah, or on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, or Shchodesh. If there really is a din of halal, and the Meiri takes it very, very seriously, so why are we substituting? So say halal. Say halal. So the answer probably is, the point you made before, that the halal ha-mitzri, as the Gemara puts it, the typical prakim of halal from Kufi Gimel to Kufi Ches, where he says halal, you want to refer to the halal ha-mitzri, those are the halal that speak of numerous times of Nisim Gluim, of open revealed miracles. Purim is all about, as you mentioned before, Purim is all about Kadosh Baruch Hu working behind the scenes. And we had a chance to discuss a little bit on Shabbos afternoon that's the perhaps the reason why Poskim suggests that there's no idea of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha on Purim, that any happy event can fit into the Simcha of Purim. That may be, Newberg mentioned this Friday night B'Shem Rishlom Zalman Arbach, similar lines, it may be this idea, because Purim is a celebration of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is always involved in our lives. Pesach is a celebration of the great moments. The razzle-dazzle, apex moments when Kadosh Baruch Hu was eminently clear. Purim is when we celebrate the other extreme, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of the inner workings of everyday life. Ubiquitous. It's the ubiquity of, it's a constancy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in our lives. That's the simcha of Purim. That may be why anything that happens and anything you're happy about fits into the, every simcha is coherent with the Simcha of Purim, because Purim is universal Simcha. It's a Simcha, it's celebrating the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is at work in our lives even when nothing looks awry and nothing looks special. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always there. And the Ramban, a very beautiful and famous Ramban, and we'll close with this because I think this Ramban brings everything together. This is the very, very last Ramban in Parshas Bo. The end of all the story we see this time, all the many, many mitzvahs, adios, that the psukim lists over the second half of Parashas Bo, on Pesach and throughout the year to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rabban says, why all these mitzvahs? Why? So he says, well, okay, yeah, one or two mitzvahs remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, but so many mitzvahs. Rabban says, no, you have to understand. It's a two-step idea. He says, now we have to understand that remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mount Torah, that's not just a nice idea. It's not just a Jewish value. That is fundamental to the whole system of halacha and the whole system of emunah, because so much of our emunah is built on the living memory of, living national memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mount Mercy. That's where it all began. That's where our emunah. Right. This is the Rambam. So he says, that's why this is so, that's why the halacha is so invested, so many mitzvahs, to support the sustain the living national memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim Ma'amar HaSinai. But then he says, and this is a source 6 on the page, he says, but that's just step 1. But there's a step 2. He says, min ha-nisim ha-gedolim ha-mufur, something that big famous mitzvahs are the modeh b'nisim ha-starim sheheim yisod ha-torah kula. The goal of seeing those great nisim gluyim is and he develops a length that the Kodesh Baruch Hu involved, performed so many nisim gluyim at the time of before and after Yetzias Mitzrayim to make that point, I'm here. But he says, but that wasn't the goal. The goal in religious life is not to live a life where I'm constantly seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was a vehicle. The goal, he says, is you'll see those Nisim Geluyim, or you'll have national memory of the Nisim Geluyim. That will bring you to Nisim Nistarim, a person will, to recognition of Nisarim, and that's Yisod HaTorah Kula. It says the fundamentals of Emunah, of Jewish Emunah, is Yichol Derareinu, Mikreinu, Kulam, Nisim, Embem, Tem, Nagash, Olam. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is constantly ubiquitously involved in our lives. So the truth is, ironically, Rabban is saying that Pesach is supposed to lead to Purim.
Yeah.
Right? The Pesach great moments were supposed to lead us to the ability to see what the Jews saw at the time of Purim, and which led to the Kimu v'Kiblu, Kimu v'Shekiblu Kvar. And that's why the Simcha, we're talking about the Simcha of Purim, a fascinating Rashi. Gemara says Maseches Tanis here in source 7. Mishnichnas Adar Marv Masimcha. Rashi is probably bothered. Why the language Mishnichnas Adar? Just say Be Adar Marv Masimcha. Mishnichnas Av means it's not all of Av, only the beginning of Av. But here, what's Mishnichnas Adar? Rashi is here. It's the opposite. It means more than just Adar. Meinisma El Yisrael Purim U Pesach. Again, they come together, and their Simcha is a Simcha Mishutefes. So I think this brings us back to the beginning. Mismach Geula Geula is, again, in line with the model that Rabbi Yonah had sketched in Brachas of two pieces forming a greater whole. It's Purim and Pesach together that form the complete package of Jewish Amunah, the way the Ramban sketched out at the end of Parashas Bo. You have the recognition of great moments of Nisim Geluyim, and that brings a Jew to then be able to put that together to The Nisim Geluyim allow, give us the glasses, give us the lenses, give us the sensitivity to be able to see the far more common but less obvious Nisim Nistarim in our lives. So Mismach Geula Geula is absolutely critical. Pesach and Purim have to be together to give us that combined recipe of Emunah.
Similar idea, unless that's your punchline, but the Smicha is the Nisim Geluyim and Nisim Nistarim.
Right. That's a recipe. Right, it's a recipe, like Rabbi Yonah said, and that's something to keep in mind every day, that every time we're about, if we're about to daven Marav, that every Smichas Gulot feel is a recreation of the Pesach Shavuos combination, then stepping out of Avdei Parah and stepping into Avdei Hashem, and these months, Adar and Nisan, and as Jake suggested, perhaps going all the way to Shavuos, together give us the full picture of what the religious life of a Jew is supposed to be. The great moments, and the everyday, quiet but constant sense of the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when his knocking at the door is very, very faint, we can tune our ears to hear it clearly. Thank you so much.
God.